Well, good morning, church. If you have your Bibles, take them and turn with me to Psalm 54. Good to see each and every one of you here today. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest, we're delighted that you are here. So these days, we've been talking about this. We've been using David and his Psalms in Book 2 of the Psalms. He has a number of Psalms that describe a hard time and condition in his own life, where he was running from King Saul, and he was in a desperate situation. So we're using David's life and his Psalms, because in these Psalms we understand what I want to communicate to you. That even in our brokenness, the situations of life that come and the brokenness that comes, God will bless us if we understand what He is doing in our life. Look, here's the way to say it. This is the ongoing theme for each week as we look at these Psalms together. God allows people and circumstances, many times they're not good. They're not good situations. And people haven't been treating us right. God allows people and circumstances to break us of our self-reliance, to break us of our independence, to break us of our own ideas about what we ought to do. And once we understand what God is doing in our life, then we express these kinds of things we read from David. What it means to be broken but blessed. And that's what we're looking at today. So if you have your Bible, if you'll stand with me and honor the reading of God's Word, Psalm 54. We begin with the introduction to Psalm 54, and then we will go in our Bibles in just a moment for more detail to 1 Samuel 23. And I have the primary verse from 1 Samuel 23. We'll read in just a moment, then we'll read the Psalm. Notice the title, "For the Choir Director on Stringed Instruments, a Maskil of David." A Maskil simply means these seven words, this psalm, we're to think about it. We're to think about it. We're to contemplate on it. "A Maskil of David. When the Ziphites came and said to Saul, 'Is not David hiding himself among us?'" So before we read Psalm 54, you see it there on the screen for Samuel 23:19. "Then the Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, 'Is David not hiding with us in the strongholds at Horesh on the hill of Hizkiah, which is on the south of Jeshimon?'" Now we read 54. "Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your power. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me, and violent men have sought my life. They have not set God before them." Selah. "Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul. He will recompense the evil to my foes. Destroy them in your faithfulness. Willingly I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he, God, has delivered me from all trouble, and my eye has looked with satisfaction upon my enemies." So now, Lord, as we stand before you, we have to confess that there are situations and circumstances that we are all facing in this room. As the others in the other services have admitted, we have situations, people, and circumstances that are beyond our control. And today we must say, "Save us, Lord. Hear our prayer. Help us. Save us, hear us, help us. Save us, hear us, help us." And Lord, if we're unwilling to say that, convict us of our pride and our independence. So now, Lord, we ask that you might take the words of Psalm 54 and help us understand what it means for you to break us, to bless us. so that we might honor Jesus with all the days of our life. May my words honor Jesus today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So the primary verse, the verse of the blessed broken, is found in verse number 4. Before we get to the couple of observations I want to make, let me take you back to Psalm 54 and look at verse 4. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul. Now you're going to need 1 Samuel chapter 23. So boys and girls and adults, if you'll find in your copy of God's Word, go over in your Old Testament and find 1 Samuel 23. For it's in 1 Samuel 23 that we have an interesting story. This is where David continues to run from King Saul. Listen, I said this before if you've not been with us. These Psalms that we're looking at all describe a 5-year period where David was pursued daily by his enemy Saul. Did you hear me? 5 days, every day of the week, never stopping, ongoing. He was relentlessly pursued by King Saul, who was trying to kill him. 5 years. That's a long time. 5 years. So David, over that period of time, wrote these Psalms. They're not in chronological order. That means they're not in the order in which, you know, one thing goes to the next. They're put in a divine order in the book of Psalms. And so each week we read the title, because the title helps us understand why David wrote the Psalm. These words that we're reading in the Psalms, church, are words that I call broken and blessed words. That's what we're trying to talk about. What does God do in my life? Here's the thing. You're asking this because of the circumstances you're facing today. Why is God doing this in my life? Why is God permitting this to happen in my life? That's the whole point of why we're looking these days at these Psalms. Because we learned that, as I said before, God uses people and circumstances to break us of our own self-will, self-reliance, so that we will turn to God. Look, God's way is for us to be dependent on Him, not to be independent of Him. God's way is for us to be dependent on Him. But we are made as people who are independent. We don't like people to have to do anything for us, help us with anything. As we all say, it's a famous saying, when someone asks if they can help you, you say, "I'm good. I'm good. I don't need any help." Well, this morning, let's see what David learned during this time of running from Saul. Number one, this is going to sound rather obvious, but I want you to see it. We learned in Psalm 54 that David's words of brokenness are these: God is my helper. God is my helper. And so David prays in Psalm 54, "Save me, O God, and hear my prayer." You know what? God helped David when he prayed. Oh, listen, this is not just a simple thing. This is very important. Have you thought about when it is you pray? Have you thought about why you pray? We pray when we feel absolutely powerless. We pray when we feel we've run out of options. We feel betrayed by others, so we pray. We are tired and weary. We don't know what to do in the circumstances of life, so we pray. So look what we have here. All of a sudden, in David's runnings in 1 Samuel 23, we find David with a different attitude than he's had before. The last few weeks we talked about David running and hiding. Have you ever been running and hiding? Have you ever been running and hiding? Sometimes when we don't know God, we run and hide from God. But you can't run and hide from the Lord. He'll find you. He'll find you. He'll speak to you. He'll talk to you. You can't run and hide from the Lord. David was running out of fear. Sometimes we run and hide because of shame. Because of things we've done, we don't want anybody to know about them. But David now, notice, three times in this chapter, David does something. I love the way the Old Testament describes it. David, verse 2, inquired of the Lord. So let's read it. So David inquired of the Lord, shall I go attack the Philistines? Why? Well, in verse 1, the Philistines are taking the grain from this city called Keilah. So they're taking the grain from Keilah, and David, in his goodness, even though he's hiding from King Saul, he wants to help his neighbors. And so what does he do? Instead of just taking the sword of Goliath and getting all of his guys together, all of his troops, his 600 or so, he prays. God help David because he prayed, shall I go and attack the Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go attack the Philistines and deliver Keilah. But David's men were afraid in verse 3. And so David in verse 4 again prays to make sure that he's doing what God wants him to do. In verse 4, David inquired of the Lord and said, and the Lord said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hand. So David and his troops go, they take Keilah from the Philistines, and they save the city. They save the city. But then we read in verse number 10, David says, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come and destroy the city because of me. So David got some news. Saul's coming to destroy this city because this city's going to be loyal to David if I don't kill them all. Verse 11. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Think about that. The very people that David had saved, are you listening? This happens in our lives. The very people that David had saved now want to turn him over to his enemy, King Saul. Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? And God says in verse 11, he will come down. Then David said, will the men of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hand of Saul? And God said, they will surrender you. Here's a beautiful picture, church, of what happens when you sit with the Lord and you ask him and wait long enough to hear from him. When we pray, God helps us, but we have to pray. We have to pray. We have to say, Lord, do I need to go this place? And the Lord will say, yes, go there or don't go there. Lord, are these people going to do these certain things? If I do this, they may do that to you. Here we see this beautiful example, listen, of David when he's out in the middle of nowhere, when he's in the wilderness, when he's surrounded, when he's in the middle of all of his trouble, he stops and he prays. That's why the first words of Psalm 54 are so special and precious. These are the words of a man who understood what brokenness now means. God is using, listen, this is important what I'm about to say. God uses troubled times to help us. God uses troubled times to help us, but we don't ever want trouble. We think trouble hurts us, but trouble helps us because we learn to do this. Psalm 54:1, save me, O God. Isn't that a good prayer? Would you agree? Is that not a good prayer? Save me, O God. Have you ever prayed, save me, O God? I hope you have. Have you ever prayed and said to the Lord, verse 2, hear my prayer. God, are you listening to me? I'm in the middle of a big mess. I don't know what to do. Now, these things are relenting in my life. I can't seem to overcome them. God helped David when he prayed. That's why David comes down and says, verse 4, Psalm 54, God is my helper. James tells us, James the apostle, you don't have it because you don't ask for it. So I want to know today, my Christian friends, my dear friends, when you're in trouble, do you pray? Or when you're in trouble, do you just go come up with your other good idea? By the way, the last one didn't work very well either. Do you keep going to other people for resources? Do you keep trying this? Do you grab for this? Do you grab for that? Or do you pray? Do you pray? God helped David when he prayed. The second thing I want you to see from this story of David is that These are very obvious things, but I want you to see them because they make so much sense to us in our life. The second thing is God helped David and protected him from his enemies. Now look, here's the thing that's true for every person in this room. We have no idea how many times God protects us from unknown dangers in our life. Did you know that? It's true. We have no idea how many times God protects us from unknown dangers. So now we come across these interesting people called Ziphites. And may I just say to you, don't be a Ziphite, okay? Tell your neighbor, don't be a Ziphite. Go ahead and tell them. And you're thinking, what in the world is a Ziphite? Well, I'm about to tell you, boys and girls, don't be Ziphites. Don't be Ziphites. God protected David from secret enemies who went on their own to try to give David over to Saul. We read 1 Samuel 23. It's here on the screen and in your Bible, verse 14. Look at this. This is an amazing statement about David. David's been running. But what does a broken, blessed person finally learn in their running? This is what I was trying to say just a moment ago. If you hear Pastor Mike, David stayed, look at this, in the wilderness. He stayed in the wilderness. And he remained in the strongholds, in the hill country, in the wilderness of Ziph. That's where Ziphites come from, Ziph. But look at the last phrase. Look at the last phrase. And Saul sought David every day, but God did not deliver him into his hands. God protected David. Why? Because look, down in verse 19, we read it earlier. Here's the Ziphites. Here's what a Ziphite does. A Ziphite tricks us. A Ziphite stays with us, and then he betrays us to someone else. He hurts us. A Ziphite takes advantage of a person in order for their own good. Don't be a Ziphite. The Ziphites came to Saul. Is not David hiding with us in the strongholds of Horish? On the hill. Notice how specific they are. He's in the strongholds at Horish on the hill of Hekala, which is on the south of Jeshimon. South Judea, here they are, out in the wilderness of Ziph. And so the king, he says, now king, verse 20, do you want us to do our part to surrender him to you? And oh, Saul is so happy because the Ziphites have come his way. He's so happy. And he tells them, here's what a Ziphite does. A Ziphite spies on you in order to destroy you. A Ziphite watches what you do in order to tell someone else about you for your own harm. Don't be a Ziphite. And so the Ziphites are told by Saul, verse number 23, go look and learn about his hiding places, where he hides himself, and return to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And if he's in the land, I will search him out among the thousands of Judah. What am I saying today, folks? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying something to remind us all of what I talked about last week in Psalm 52. When we talked about David all day long, listen, don't lose me here, all day long, David was loved by God. Psalm 52, verse number 1. The loving kindness of God endures all day long. God loves us enough that he protects us all day long. I got a text from one of our men last week about Wednesday. And he said, and I appreciated it because he was listening to the sermon last week. He said, Pastor Mike, I am having I wish I would have put it on the screen to show you, a long, and it had O's for about four lines, long day. Have you ever had a long day? You may be having one right now. And it's just 11:22. A long day that's relentless. The pressure The pain, it never lets up for five years every day. David was hunted down like an animal by his enemy, King Saul. And guess what? Unbeknownst to David, many times, people were trying to give him over to Saul. But God protected him. That's why Psalm 54 is so good. David's writing these words while he's still in trouble. And he says something that I hope you can say today. God is my helper. By the way, not God has been my helper, not God will be my helper, as much as those are true, those things are true. God is my helper. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is my helper. But there's something else, one other thing I want you to see. David willingly did something here. Oh, this is it. This is the point. This is the point. Why is God doing all these things in my life? To make me a willing, cooperative person with Him. That's what He's doing, folks. Look at the last two verses of Psalm 54. Willingly I will sacrifice to you, and I will give thanks to your name, O Lord. For he has delivered me from all trouble, and my eye has looked with satisfaction on my enemies. David's still in the wilderness of Ziph with Ziphites trying to give him over to his enemy. But he writes because he prayed, because he's realized and seen the protection of God in his life. He now says, I am willingly going to sacrifice to you. And look what he does. This is it. This is my word to you today. When I know that God helps me in my brokenness, broken, blessed people are thankful people. Now look, boys and girls, your moms and dads taught you at a very early age that you should always say, thank you. Always. That's the first lesson. That's one of the first lessons of manners. Just like don't talk with your mouth full. You sit up at the table and you be respectful and you say yes ma'am and no ma'am. But your parents taught you to say thank you. I wonder today, I'm just asking, I'm being the preacher now. Have you thanked God for anything today? Did you remember to say thank you to God? Have you expressed thanks in your life for all the many things that God has done for you? You see, when I'm a broken, blessed person, and I know what kind of a rascal and what kind of a person I have been in the past, how I have treated other people, and how I have walked away from God, and God would save me and change me, I recognize that now God is doing what He's doing in my life to mold me, but to make me a willing person. Listen, I said it before. God wants you to become dependent on Him, not independent of Him. God wants you to become dependent on Him. That's why David said, in the middle of the wilderness of Ziph, unbeknownst what was going on in his life, what they were doing to sell him out, the Ziphites, he said, save me, God. Hear me, God. Help me, God. Have you ever said that? When you say that, that's the words of a broken person. That's where God wants us to be. But then we learn to thank Him. You know, there's nothing, and in our church, we have a number of people who are very good at this, and I want to say thank you myself. We have a number of people who are excellent at doing something that is almost a lost kind of thing in our world. They actually take a piece of paper or a card. They take a pen, a writing utensil. This is what you write with it. The ink comes out of it. And you write on the paper words in cursive writing. They write these words. And they sign it. And you know what it is? They send it. And I'm so appreciative of it. They send a thank you note. A thank you note. And they do something else with it, boys and girls. They put a stamp on it. Do we all know what a stamp is? And they let the post office, when they get around to it, deliver those cards to our mailbox. I'm being silly, but I'm making a point. When was the last time you sat down before God and wrote a thank you list to Him? No, I mean it. I mean this with all my heart. Broken people who are blessed are thankful people. What a shame it is to see God's people live as if God owes us. No, He doesn't owe us. In fact, the Bible tells us a number of times that we're to be a spiritual people. Peter, 1 Peter 2:5. You are a group, those of you who are born again here, you are a group, a holy priesthood. Listen, here's what Peter said. To offer up spiritual sacrifices to God, which are acceptable through Jesus Christ. And then that verse of all verses, it's a hard verse for me to share. It's a hard verse sometimes for me to accept, but it goes right with what we're talking about broken and blessed people. Listen, this is what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I've got to get myself ready. In everything, give thanks. Oh, that means those irritating people that are like gum on my shoe that I can't get out of my life? Yes. That means that circumstance that you're in, that you have been in, you've been in the wilderness for forever. That situation at work, that situation with your family, that health problem, whatever it may be, that's beyond your power. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Are you listening, church? For you in Christ Jesus. Thanks. Thank you, Lord, for the Ziphites. Thank you, Lord, for the King Sauls. Thank you, Lord, for Doeg. We saw him last week. Thank you, Lord, that when I'm in my sin and I confess it, you forgive me. Thank you, Lord, for the circumstances. Thank you that all these things are working together because you are molding me and making me into your image like Jesus. Thank you for allowing all these things to happen in my life. Thank you. You see, broken, blessed people are thankful. So today we want to practice that. So David says, Psalm 54, 6 and 7, as a broken, blessed man, willingly I will sacrifice to you, and I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. So we're going to stand together, if you would now, if you'll stand with me, just everybody stand. We're going to express our thanks to God. Now look, I don't know what He's done for you. I only know what He's done for me, and I am grateful, and I am trying to learn the principle. You see, it takes sacrifice to thank God. Did you know that? It's easier just to go our way. No, we need to be thankful people. So I'm going to repeat this phrase, and then I'd like us as a group to say it aloud, as a congregation, because I want us to say these things to the Lord, and this will be your starter for the day, and maybe on the way home in your car, you all can talk about as a family. What are we thankful for that God's done for us? What are we thankful for that the Lord has done for us? We give thanks because God has helped us and protected us in our brokenness. Would you agree? Amen. Is that true? So let's say these words. I'll say it. You repeat it after me. Thank you, God, for being my helper. Thank you, God, for being my sustainer. Thank you, God, for being my Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that the Word of God is a lamp to our feet, shows us the way to walk, and a light to our path, shows us how to live. So Lord, today, during this time, while we're standing here, Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember, never forget, when we have been in a powerless situation, and we called to you. We said, save me, Lord. Hear me. Help me. And you did. Thank you for being our helper, our Savior, our sustainer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Help us to be a thankful people at First Baptist Church, a thankful people for all that you've done for us. So while we're standing with our heads bowed, if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, well, that's what we do here. We want you to come to follow Jesus. You must be broken and humble enough to come, that's right, in front of all these people, and confess. Your coming is a way of confessing that you are ready to believe on Jesus. You're ready to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior and follow Him in baptism and be a disciple all the days of your life. That's what we come to do here. You're here and you're needing to join this church, and for some time you know you've needed to do that. But maybe today's the day you come. And you come and say, look, I'm ready to join this place, put my family, my time, my talent, my abilities, my gifts here so that I might serve Jesus with all these good people. Now, this is the most important time of the service, so no moving around. This is when we listen to the Lord. The pastors are going to be here at the front. We're going to sing this chorus together, and as we sing it, we invite you to come. So right now, as we sing together, if you need to make a public decision, ask your friend to come with you if you're afraid to come by yourself from the balcony or below. Come on right now. Let's sing together. Sing it with your heart.
Move me closer.
Come on right now if you need to come, friend. Come on, you're among friends. Don't be afraid.
Move me closer to the cross.
Anybody here in the house?
Let me see.
Sing it again. Sing it again. Do you need to come? Come on.
Move me closer. Move me closer to the cross. Let me see Him. See His nail-pierced hands. Move me closer
right.
to the cross.
So let's bow our heads for just a moment. Bow our heads for just a moment. As a family of believers here at First Baptist Church, so now we go through it. We go through what we've heard today. What does a broken and blessed man or woman say when they've been in the wilderness and God's helped them? They willingly say thank you. All right. So while you're bowing your head, start right now. Speak to the Lord right there and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank Him for what He's done. Thank Him. With your heads bowed, Steve's going to sing again. We invite you to come. Some of you need to come this morning. While Steve sings, come on.
Move me closer.
Anybody here?
Move me closer.
This is your time.
Move me closer to your side. Let me see you. Let me hold your hand. Move me closer to
Would you be seated, please, for just a moment, Steve?